Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this November 13th, this session 3. Welcome, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. Your host and program director, James, along with my partner in art, Seth.
Hey, everyone.
Hope you're having a good one out there. And Seth, thank you for this. We're going to have some fun today with this show.
We are indeed.
We're going to get into what's new and coming new to theaters between now and the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Touch on some of the big blockbusters there. Also going to touch on our local theater scene. It's actually how we'll kick things off.
All right.
But I also want to remind the audience that we're going to be getting into something a little bit later that we teased on the morning show on Friday. Correcting myth takes.
That's right.
That is going to be fun. Stories of some of the mysteries behind some of those interesting tales and, you know, and from the entertainment industry,
which is full of these kind of stories.
Yes.
When you're in an industry full of storytellers, you know, sometimes things get exaggerated a little bit. Some things get twisted a little bit. But we're here to help. We're here to hold them accountable.
Yes.
Hard hitting. No. It's just us clearing up some stuff.
That's right. Exactly. We're going to have fun doing it, too.
Yes, we are.
So, and I want to let the audience know, one of the things that we want to do with this show, not only bringing on artists, and we mean all forms of art.
Yeah, indeed.
Every single one there is. We want you guys to feel interacting with the show as well. Mm-hmm. So get us your suggestions of artists or musicians that you'd like to hear on the show here, authors, podcasters, anybody. I mentioned this the other day. There is a group of people who make games, board games.
Yeah.
In Nakusa, and I've talked to a couple of them, and we want to have them on the with us and
something like that. Give you an idea of what we're looking for, because we're trying to keep it as broad as we possibly can. So that's going to be part of it. You know, one of the great things about this show is that we're leaving the format as open as possible.
Yes.
And we're going to have, you know, little features we do here and there, but we really want to try to get as many like guests in here, as many different kinds of anything to do with play, entertainment, music, anything. And we want to try to do that.
So we're going to put our focus on a couple of sections, mainly in the Wood County area here, Portage County, that kind of stuff. I want to talk a little bit about CWAC and the things that they have going on over there. But first, we'll start with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
All right.
And something that is very close to us. All the Ways to Say I Love You, the Neil LaBlutpe play, the one-woman show that is going to be done by our own Melissa Kay.
That's right.
We do want to send a shout-out to Michael J. Laskowski doing the directing of this. And everything I've heard, Michael's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a guest director from the Appleton area. And that's kind of neat that they got to do that. That's kind of interesting connection with this.
Yeah, you know, Tim was talking to us a little bit about that, that him and Michael go ways back, and bring Michael into the fold here has been kind of cool for everybody, and especially Tim and Michael, but really for us as an area, bringing in different set of eyes, a different person to, you know, kind of, hey, approach our stage a little differently than some of our directors have.
Exactly.
And a one-person show is nothing to take lightly.
Oh, no, like, it never is.
It is such a difficult thing to be able to pull off. Theater in general is tough to pull off.
Yeah.
Let alone when it's just you out there.
Yeah.
And not a lot of props, not a lot of a stage. So that is, you don't even have that assistance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was kind of thinking about this in the context of the show I was just in, The Odd Couple. I played Oscar Madison. And Oscar is basically on the stage the entire show.
Yeah.
But I realized, and I had, you know, plenty of lines to learn for that, but I realized that almost all my stuff is reacting. You know, I'm reacting to the other actors, I'm reacting to certain movements on the stage and all that sort of thing. With a one-person show, you got none of that.
Yeah.
Everything has got to be right there.
Yeah.
Now, you can probably do little techniques, like little things, little movements that will help you remember, you know, some pneumatic devices that you can use. But this is, if you're by yourself up there, man, that's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, it's a different animal.
It is.
And talking to Melissa throughout this process, she has gone from being nervous to being scared to being excited and jubilated and happy and all those things. And that was just like in the beginning, let alone now where she's at with
so
this.
Close. Yeah.
And she's really excited to put this on for the town, put this on for everybody.
Yep.
Keep in mind, WRCT is going to continue to do a lot of these directors showcase one act plays.
Mm-hmm.
They do tend to be traditionally a little more edgy.
Yep.
maybe than your main stage shows.
Yes,
Because of adult language or content, what have you. So keep that in mind when you're going to these.
Right, including this show. We do want to let people know that there are definitely adult themes in this.
Yeah.
So just if that's something you're not interested in, just we'll let you know about that sort of thing. But if it's something, if you're looking for something a little more in depth, and we're talking very emotional, this is a very emotional show, and you want to see that kind of thing, be able to something like that performed here that you would not see on the main stage, this is for you.
Yeah, it's a really cool opportunity to when you're taking in shows with this studio theater.
Yeah,
it's such an intimate setting. It's like you're on stage. Yeah. It reminds me of going to see a hockey game. Like any hockey game I've ever been to, I feel like I'm on the ice if I'm getting close enough.
Yeah.
And you're so close to the action and the sounds and the smells and the feeling, you almost feel like you're on the rink with them. And when it comes, like the Southwick County Rec Center is a perfect example.
Yeah, right.
A great place to see a hockey game, anything really. But you feel like you're a part of the action. Mm-hmm. You really do. With theater, one of the things I love over theater, over movies or TV shows is that personal. Mm. You can hear the actor breathing on stage.
Yeah.
Like that's a different element.
You can see
element.
The sweat or in my case, because I tend to spit a little bit when I'm delivering lines. You can see that even, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's so much more intimate, so much more real.
Exactly.
And then you went on top of it a show like this where it's in that studio theater. It's even closer and more intimate.
Yeah.
That is really cool. Also keep in mind it's a limited number of people that can get in there, so get your tickets.
45 seats, I believe, is their limit.
Yeah. Get your tickets. You can go to wrctheater.org to do that. Mm-hmm. Again, all the ways to say I love you will be premiering November 18th and 19th coming up. Mm-hmm. Be sure to attend this show. It's going to be a really good one.
Yes,
I know you'll see us there. We're going to be there.
We're definitely going to be taking a look to support Melissa, but also to support this idea of the director showcases. I think this is great for not only for WRCT, but for the community too. Get something a little different. Something, you know, let's give a large variety of stuff. You know, not only the main stage and the Silver Foxes and Hopo Theater, and the theater does a lot of great stuff, but let's do this too. Let's support this.
It really speaks to what Tim was talking about with us in our last session, but also what, you know, WRCT has always really tried to do, and I think Tim and the gang right now, along with the board, are really making that happen now. Not taking anything from the people that have worked to get us this far.
Yeah.
But they're able to do a little more now and be able to do some of these more racier shows or just being able to bring in more people even.
For as tough as the pandemic was, it has led to the reassessment of a lot of different things. And live theater, boy, this is something that really had to change. And I give Tim all the credit for, you know, sticking it out through the pandemic. Yes. He had just started the job and all of a sudden, wham, you get hit with 2 years of this. Wow. So a lot of credit to him for keeping everything going. But now, you know, what else can we do with it? You know, it's really exciting to see some of the stuff that's coming up in the future for it.
As exciting as that is, WRCT is still going to continue to do what they've done for decades and putting on great main stage shows. Mm-hmm. And that includes, of course, their holiday show this year, Miracle on 34th Street. It's going to be premiering December 9th. They'll also have shows on the 10th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. Of course, the new format, that final show on the 17th will not only have a 7 o'clock show, but a 2 o'clock matinee.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
It's also really cool to be doing a show like this because Miracle on 34th Street, while most people know the story and it's been around a while, I don't think as far as Christmas story, like that upper echelon of Christmas stories, I feel like it is on the fringe still of that.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I don't know if I love the original movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, classic.
It's just a classic. Not only do you get to see a very young Natalie Wood.
Yeah.
Because she was a child star and she does a great job in that. But Edmund Gwynn as Santa Claus. I can't think of a better Santa Claus than he was.
No.
Such a great actor, and he did it so perfectly.
When I was a kid, my first acting job, my first acting gig, and it really wasn't, but that's the way I looked at it as
look
a kid.
At it.
in sixth grade, my teacher thought that it would be very funny to have a Jewish skinny kid play Santa. So I, being the young me, not knowing how to take anything lightly in life, I'm like, oh, this is my first acting job. Oh, I got to take this seriously. I have to be redeemed. And I went and watched Miracle on 34th Street because my definition of Santa was his performance.
Yeah.
And to this day, if I was to play Santa, I would go back and watch
that
movie.
One.
And that's the first.
Couldn't do any worse, my friend. That's about the best you can do.
I hadn't thought of it before. And I would say that, you know, it goes in different stages in life, your favorite movies or favorite seasonal movies. I've always loved Scrooged. The Bill Murray version. I just am a sucker for that movie. I love that movie. I went and saw it in the theater as a kid and everything.
All right, now I'm going to have to cut you off here because I think we've got a future segment that we're going to be talking about this.
Yes.
So let's not digress right now.
Right on, okay. Right on. Very good. Thank
rein
you.
Rein this guy thank in you. Sometimes.
Yeah. I will say this is probably my favorite Christmas show, my favorite Christmas movie, all that. I really think if I'm hard-pressed to say, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially you have a director like Susan, who we both know very well, who we have to thank for meeting, actually.
That's right.
Susan is going to give you Miracle on 30, all the things you love about the show with a newer... I don't want to say spin, just her own spin on it.
Absolutely. And that's what you were looking for a director to do. I mean, a live show. We talked about this with The Odd Couple, such a well-known show.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has seen, maybe not everyone has seen, but the movie or the TV show. Yeah. They've got these preconceived notions of who the characters are. But you got to bring something of your own into these. Otherwise, it's not going to work. If you're trying to be Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, that's not going to work because it's going to look weird and, you know, unnatural. But again, another well-known Christmas story. And let's be honest. When we get to this time of year, there are only a certain number of Christmas shows that are done in general. Which, again, something we can talk about when we get closer to Christmas. What are some things we'd like to see?
Yes.
What different kind of... See, maybe some newer Christmas stuff coming out there.
Yes.
That'd be fun. But anyway, that's for another time. But I having a movie or a show like this based on a very... very beloved movie.
Yes.
A very popular movie that's been remade at least once.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to put your own spin on it. And Susan is so good at doing those kinds of things.
It's a wonderful cast, too.
It is. Oh, my gosh.
Just a bunch of our favorites, people that we love seeing on that stage, along with some new people, which is pretty cool.
Some very new people. In fact, some people who've never been on stage before. I love when we get people like that. I love when we get cast with people. It's so awesome.
It never gets old.
Never
like
does.
That kind
I
of
love
thing.
It.
It's one of our favorite things to see. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I also am excited for this area to have these shows. Everything we've been talking about here. It's not only cool for our area, but economically the impact it makes.
It does make a very good impact, yes.
People usually, if they're coming to a show, they're not just going right to WRCT and then leaving.
Yep.
Like they're bopping around town. They're going to a restaurant. They're going to a bar or something like that. That stuff matters. It all adds up. And it speaks to the importance of the arts, to theater, to all of the above.
And how important it is for our community and every community. We are lucky that we still have a community theater. I mean, you mentioned it before. There's a lot of communities that lost their community theaters because of the pandemic or because of other things, just lack of support. Well, we don't have that issue here. Mm. And we want everyone to celebrate it and enjoy it as much as you can. So come on out. Come on to the Christmas show. Plus, get you in the Christmas spirit anyway, right?
Right on. And you can get, again, tickets for these and all future WRCT shows and performances at wrctheater.org. It's wrctheater.org.
Mm-hmm.
Want to shift our focus a little bit upwards, a little north, I believe, to the CWAC group, to the Central Wisconsin Community Theater.
Yes.
They were our first guests having them on.
That's right.
And a shout out to the cast of the SpongeBob musical.
They have a special place in history now.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's awesome.
Yeah.
We don't get the chance to talk that much to them and about that organization. So one of the things we love about this show is it's going to give us an opportunity to do that more.
Oh, yeah.
And CWAC had a great, very successful run with the SpongeBob musical.
Glad to hear
congratulations
that.
To everybody with that.
Yeah.
If I have this correct, it looks like their next upcoming event is a kid like Jake.
A kid like Jake, okay.
That is going to be on January 13th and January 14th.
Okay.
At the theater over there.
Yeah.
Century Theater.
Yeah.
Thank you. They do have auditions as well for the play 1974. Auditions will be Monday, December 5th, and Tuesday, December 6th. The location will be announced, but if you go to cwac.org, that's all one word, cwact.org, you'll find that and keep up to date when they have those auditions. I know I'm going to be looking at that, especially it is a comedy written and directed, I believe directed, by our own Mike Egrin, who joined the WRCT stage millions of times.
Yes, he is actually going to be in the show, Miracle on 34th, Drunk Santa.
Yeah, yeah. Which
I can't wait to see Mike as drunk Santa.
God, he's gonna be so good at that. Yes. I guarantee. If you've seen Mike, you have not seen a bad performance. That man does not know how to do bad.
He's wonderful.
He's so good. And of course, him and Susan and what they brought to this area. Yep. How great they are. So Mike's actually had a handful of shows over the years that he's written
put together. Yes,
that's gonna be. I'm really excited about that. That should be really good.
That should be a cool one. Yeah.
This time of year, political season that we have been in and everything. That should be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to that one.
You know, you take a step back and it just gives you an opportunity to really realize and appreciate all this great theater that we have in this area. Attend these shows, spread the word about these shows.
Yep.
Let's keep art alive in our area. It is so integral. Whether we're any subject we talk about, it affects it.
Yes. Yes. So don't. That's one of the reasons we wanted to do this show. I know that for you, especially James, is something you've been wanting to do for a long time. And this is another way to add exposure to that. We're both theater guys. We love theater. And that's being able to celebrate it here with everyone that's listening. Yeah. How much fun is this? So, let's keep it alive, everyone. Let's keep it going and attend the shows. And we can guarantee you'll have a good time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And if you need further information about these things, please reach out to us, James or Seth at WFHR.com anytime. And looking forward to talking more about that.
Yes.
We getting close to that break?
We can go right ahead to our new first break here.
Let's do that, and we'll come back and talk about what's going to be new in big screen in theaters between now and the end of the year.
Oh, very cool. When we come back to Director's Cut.
Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Cut, everybody. Hope you're having a great night out there. Thank you for wrapping up your weekend with Seth and I. We're having some fun here, and we're going to put our focus to the big screen now.
All right.
A really big show where we – I don't know where that came from. That's the worst Ed Sullivan impression of all time. New movies coming out between now and, of course, towards the end of the year. This is a big time for all of the big studios.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially getting those traditionally it was always the Oscar bait.
Yes.
Was coming out this year. Do they still, is it still kind of
a little
that?
Bit? It is still a little bit of that. Okay. Especially you will see like in November, really leading into Thanksgiving and to the end of the year, you're going to see a collection of movies that they would have liked to have had come out on the 4th of July, but it didn't work out scheduling wise. So your big blockbusters and that.
Okay.
The avant-garde movies, the movies that are pulling for attention from the academies and all that. For
specific performances by actors and certain movies and that kind of thing. Yeah, okay.
So putting it right to this past weekend, of course, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever coming out, the next step in the Marvel movies, a big one and an important one. Interesting, from what I've heard, and I haven't seen it, of course, but from what I've heard, that everybody keeps coming out of that movie talking about what a great job they did, paying respect to Chadwick Boseman, but also carrying the story on. And it's very similar to the first Black Panther. Don't walk into this one expecting Lex Luthor. You're not going to get your traditional villain. You're going to get more of the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, the thing that stood out to me about Black Panther wasn't just the representation and getting to see those characters come to life from the comics and all that.
Right.
It was Michael B. Jordan's performance as Killmonger.
Great. Oh, wonderful.
It's up there with the greatest villain performance, anti-hero performances, whatever words you want to use.
Whatever you want to use for that,
I've ever seen any antagonist. Of us. Well, antagonist, I think, is the perfect word. For it. And that's a similar thing with Neymar that you're going to see with this character.
Yes. By the way, I have been waiting a very, very long time to see Neymar in a movie. For nothing else. I mean, I'm excited. The whole Black Panther thing. I loved the first movie. I am excited to see this one, even without Chadwick Boseman in it. But I got to say, seeing Namor is a treat. I'm super excited.
Well, and Tanakh, the actor playing him, I've only seen one real scene of him talking and doing anything, and he's interacting with Angela Bassett, one of the greatest actors of all time,
this generation, for sure.
Yes. And he's got a scene where he's telling my people call me and I don't want to ruin anything, but everyone call me Neymar. Like it's delivered perfectly, man. Incredible. And it speaks to something that I rambled about on this morning show and everything, mm-hmm. but the importance of these films, these movies. Yes, representation matters.
Yep.
The fan bases love this stuff, mm-hmm. but it the opportunity that it gives actors and writers yeah. and directors, these are more jobs. These are more money being put into these towns and cities that host
wherever they're filming it, yeah.
That stuff matters.
It
that,
does.
That means a lot.
Yeah.
And to an industry that was hit over the head hard in the last 3 years.
Oh, yes.
To see some of our greatest names, our most collective, looked up to directors, mm-hmm. like Tim Burton, Martin Scorsese, mm. Quentin Tarantino, kind of talking down about this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're just too close to it or too much in a bubble or too many yes men around them or what it is, but I don't think maybe they do and they just don't care. They're mm-hmm. hurting the industry when they do that.
I think you've hit a valid point there because all these guys came in as you mentioned it on the air on Friday, Rebels.
Yes.
These guys were the young guns. These guys were going to change the film industry, yes. and they did in a lot of ways. It kind of went back, you know, when then Spielberg came along, Lucas kind of brought the blockbuster. Yeah. And that kind of changed things as well. For the good, for not so good. Yeah. I mean, we could debate about that. But these were the guys that changed it. Him, you got your Scorsese, your Brian De Palmas, mm. your Dennis Hoppers.
Yes.
You know, all those kinds of guys that really broke in yeah. the late 60s and the yeah. early 70s. And now they've become like the old curmudgeons. You know,
it's just sad.
It's kind of sad.
It is.
And maybe it's because of age or experience or something. Yeah. They're out of touch, maybe. Maybe you hit it on the head with that. Maybe they are a little out of touch at this point.
I think so. Especially, you know, I didn't hear them barking when, like you said, Spielberg, Lucas, some of those guys bring out the blockbusters.
The Jaws and the Star Wars, yeah.
I never heard anybody complaining about Michael Bay. I mean, Michael Bay, if he doesn't have dialogue, explosion. Like, I mean, that's what he does. And it works. It works for him. People love those movies.
They do.
Like, not every movie yeah. has to be Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
And again, this is coming from me who loves those movies. And you know, yeah. I enjoy those movies.
Exactly.
And I am not doing myself and my career any favors taking shots at directors I would like to work for. But I also got to be able to look in the mirror.
You got to be honest, man.
Yeah.
yeah.
And this stuff matters. This stuff is important.
It does.
I say all that stuff, and then there are movies that are just silly fun. Because coming out on December 2nd, the movie Violent Night. This is, you've never seen a take on Santa like this one.
Oh, dear.
David Harbour playing him from famous from Stranger Things. He played the most recent version of Hellboy. Very fun actor, very likable actor.
Yes.
He's playing Santa Claus, who happens to be delivering gifts to a house that is being held hostage. And it gets violent and silly violent. Like, not obviously taking
over
any
the
of
top
the
kind yes, of stuff. Yeah. yeah.
It is going to have a very limited audience, I would think.
Yeah.
But the people that like that kind of stuff are going to, if you
They're
like action
up,
movies,
man.
Yeah, if you like action movies and you want to see a Christmas action movie and you're tired of watching Die Hard.
yeah, David Harbour is a perfect Santa, by the way.
Yes.
He will
yes.
make a completely believable Santa.
Also coming out on December 2nd, Scrooge, A Christmas Carol, a music adaptation of Charles Dickens' Christmas Story.
Oh, okay.
Should be interesting.
Should be interesting.
Another
yeah.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid movie, Roderick Rules, that's rated PG. That'll be on Disney Plus. The Scrooge, A Christmas Carol will be on Netflix. I believe that is the, that's going to have Jonathan Pryce, Luke Evans, Stephanie Donnelly in that one. So that should be interesting.
I'm a big Jonathan Pryce fan.
Big time.
Great singer, great actor. Yeah. Yeah. I might have to check it out just because of him.
I'm glad you mentioned him as a singer.
Yeah, he's got a wonderful voice.
I don't think
voice.
A lot of people
yeah.
know that. Yep. Yeah, he's a very good singer.
Yep.
Then December 5th, not as much, although the Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon, that looks pretty interesting. That is going to have a limited release.
Okay. Is that a documentary, I'm guessing?
I believe so, yeah. Next, you'll have December 9th, a big one. A lot of people are talking about The Whale.
Okay.
Now, I am a little bit tired of one storyline that's going along with this.
Okay.
People have been saying this is Brendan Fraser's comeback movie. Brendan Fraser's been back for a while.
Yeah.
Like, you guys just didn't notice, okay?
Yeah, he hasn't been doing Tarzan.
Right.
But he's been doing, or George of the Jungle, whatever it was he was doing. But
maybe my tied for my favorite superhero TV show, the show Doom Patrol. which is just so much fun and so great. And DC got it so right. And mm-hmm. Brendan Fraser plays a character on there.
Yeah.
And he's been killing it for like three seasons at it, man. And that's just one thing he's been doing. Mm-hmm. He's been doing some good work. But for what it's worth, the story involves a 600-pound man who Fraser is playing who can't leave his apartment and is estranged from his teenage daughter, who Sadie Sink is playing. You know her from Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. Incredible performances back and back. Both of them will be nominated.
Yeah,
and I'd be a little surprised if one of them, if not both of them, don't win.
I would love to see a nomination for Brendan Fraser.
Yeah,
he's been kicked around by not by the industry, but by the press and stuff. And because he had that run of like really successful blockbustery type movies in the late 90s and the early 2000s. And then they decided for whatever reason to stop casting him.
Well,
some
of that came from blackballness. He was blackballed a bit. I don't know. It's not a very common thing. No,
I hadn't heard anything about that.
So Brendan Fraser during School Ties, great movie, important movie. Mm-hmm. Encourage people to watch it. Young Matt Damon, I believe, in that movie,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
During the filming of that, he was abused. And he came out and talked about it.
Really?
And people did not like that. And this is well before the Me Too movement and
yeah,
a lot of that.
Oh, right. Before that, yeah.
He also came out and talked about how Jewish actors were being treated and how he didn't think that it was fair, especially in a time when we were starting to treat other ethnicities better, but yet Jews were still being treated the way they were.
Right.
Brendan Fraser got blackballed for a while there.
Wow.
And that's why we didn't see him for a while. And
I
so
didn't
it,
know that.
It means even more to see him back in the industry and doing this and everything. And he's great. He's a great actor. He's very good at this stuff. Yeah. I mean, I like his silly movies, like Encino Man and things like that, exactly. Man, Brendan Fraser's a likable guy. It's cool to see. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio is also coming out on December 9th, a more of a dark, twisted retelling of the famous Carlo Calabari's favorite fairy tale.
Oh, shocking. It's a dark retelling of that with Guillermo del Toro. Really? Oh, you got me on that one, guys.
Who knew? Yeah. Who knew? Yeah. Interesting to see how that one is, though.
Yeah.
Another one coming out around that time on Apple TV, Emancipation. I'm sorry, I'm saying that word wrong.
Oh.
Emancipation.
Oh, Emancipation. Okay.
This is based on a true story of a runaway slave aiming to reach the Union Army and his only chance at freedom.
Wow.
Interesting. Now, this was filmed before the Oscars, and I mentioned that because it stars Will Smith. I'm interested to see how that does.
It's going to be interesting to see how this works with his career and whether or not the whole fiasco at the Oscars is going to have an effect on the film itself.
Right. It's going to tell us a lot.
Because of that, yeah.
Because I don't think anybody, I've never heard anybody have a problem with his acting. Like, he's a dang good actor. He's very good at what he does. He just won an Oscar for a reason.
Yeah.
He didn't win it really for that performance. I think he won it for an collection of his work.
Yeah, kind of a lifetime achievement one. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how, if people are going to see it or they don't see it because of him. You know,
that will be interesting to see, or how much is, you know, and not that we put too much stock on social media,
but
to see kind of what's going on, what people are saying there. That's kind of always kind of interesting to see what the buzz is for stuff like that.
How forgiving is the public when it comes to this stuff?
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, and in the scheme of things, it wasn't a like terrible thing he did. I mean, it wasn't cool, obviously.
No.
And it was kind of in the same time he was kind of denigrating Chris Rock, he was denigrating his own wife.
Right.
At the same time, like, I have to, you know, she can take care of herself. You know?
It also, though, it does speak, especially now that we're so removed from it.
Yeah.
It isn't as if he slapped any of us. Like
It's true.
It really, at this point in things, like with the dust settling and everything, it's really between those three individuals.
I think we should probably, for the most part, just let it go, you know, chalk it up to whatever it was. And let's, move on
and not forget.
Of course.
You know, you can. Yeah. We do it all the time in life.
And the only person he has to worry about forgiving him is Chris Rock.
Right.
So,
I'm curious to see how people respond
to this movie.
Especially because it is a period piece. It's about slavery. Those movies tend to bring a lot of eyeballs to them.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know. And his acting has always brought people. Will Smith
absolutely
was Mr. 4th of July for a while there. And he had a run up until the Wild Wild West movie where every time he had a movie come out around the 4th of July, lock it in. That's a blockbuster. That's going to you're going to make your money back.
Dollars. You got it.
So we're not that removed from it.
No, we're not.
On December 16th, Avatar: The Way of Water, a sequel to the 2009 blockbuster. What took you so long? Like, I did not see Avatar, so
neither
this isn't my wheelhouse.
Neither did I.
But I got to think that I will give James Cameron this bit of, and I don't ever do this, I will give him some credit.
Wow.
He came out right away and said he's not only got a new Avatar movie, he's got the next three Avatar movies.
I remember that.
And he's got this all set up, and he wants to do a bit of a Marvel phase thing with this. Mm-hmm. He recently came out and said, if this doesn't do well, he's not going to do the other movies. Like, he's listening to the people on this. Like, good. If they're not blockbusters, and we mean blockbusters, he's
these
not going
to have
to
be
them.
Like giganto hits. Yeah,
I'll give him credit for that. That's saying something. That does mean something to a degree. Mm-hmm. To a degree, we'll see if he means it or not by the box office numbers, and we'll see if people want to see these.
We will see. I honestly have no idea.
I have none.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
Now, the movie has remained in consciousness because of the Disney connection.
True.
Down at Animal Kingdom, they have some rides, so people still, know what is going on. But the first one seemed to have been a hit for reasons other than the storyline.
Yeah.
It seemed to have been a hit because of the 3D thing and all these other things. I don't know. Well, I have honestly no idea if this is going to work or not.
So many people were starving for movies like that. But
yeah.
That was in 2009.
Exactly.
We've had an abundance of the superhero movies, the special effects sci-fi movies.
Right.
Like, they're all over the place now.
Yeah.
So that is not such a limited attendance anymore, a limited quantity of things, a type
right.
of things.
Right.
So you're right. I'm not sure how this is going
to
do.
Now,
I have no idea.
Again, to be fair to James Cameron, he's always been really good at spectacle movies.
Yep.
I mean, he's been really good with movies like that.
If you've got a big concept, he's one of the directors you want to be running that.
Because he does a good job with it.
He does.
He really does.
Yeah. Real quickly, because I don't want to ramble too much longer
We're good.
But in December 21st, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, a sequel to the 2011 film Puss in Boots.
Another late sequel. Wow.
Another one late. You're right. Yeah.
And I've actually seen the original one. It was okay. It was pretty good.
Antonio Banderas is so dang good. And he's so good. He's even good at playing a little cartoon cat.
He is good.
He is the voice of Puss in Boots.
I know. And he does a marvelous job.
Perfect casting.
Perfect casting.
And like a lot of these, they did some more great casting. Selma Hayek is in this. John Mulaney, Florence Pugh is in it. Great cast.
That's a great
cast. Harvey Gillian is in it too. He's a great actor. I like him. Mm-hmm. That's going to do well, especially coming out right before Christmas.
I agree, yeah.
I can think of a lot of movies that I went and took. We used to have a tradition in our family, me and my brother and sister and I. Mm-hmm. We would go see some movie, and we went and saw Jumanji, actually.
Oh, really?
And did that. And the Lord of the Rings movies we went and saw.
Yeah.
Like, there's just something about going to see a movie on Christmas Day or around
that time.
That
is kind of cool, yeah.
It was always fun to us.
Yeah.
Because most of our family wasn't around here.
Yeah.
So that was something we would do.
Yeah, makes sense.
I've always been impressed with the box office numbers coming out of that holiday weekend.
Yes,
like that one
yeah.
in particular. It's always interesting to me. Another big one coming to Netflix, Glass Onion and Knives Out Mystery. This is a kind of spin-off of the Knives Out movie, which was so successful and so well done.
Right.
Another great director right there.
I love ensemble movies.
Yeah,
I've always enjoyed getting a bunch of famous people just to do like not even big parts, that kind of stuff. So, I've not seen Knives Out. I've wanted to.
Ooh.
I just haven't had the chance to.
Yeah,
I've heard it's a lot of fun. But
I liked it. I really did. I thought it was really good.
Now I might have to finally go and do it.
I will say, from what I can tell, you don't have to have seen the first one to see that. So that's.
I'm sure it's something that you don't have to. Get into the oeuvre, the oeuvre, and
yeah.
try to go through the whole thing.
And then just to wrap things up, coming out on December 25th, Christmas Day, to Netflix, Ronald Dahl's Matilda the Musical. Nice cast on that one, and that should be pretty good.
Wow, very cool.
Rated PG. And in limited release, a man called Otto, a grumpy, isolated widower, makes an unlikely and reluctant friendship with his new neighbors. It stars the great Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson in it, Mrs. Tom Hanks.
Rita, I haven't seen her in a while.
Long time. Those two have not done a movie together, I believe, since Punchline, their first, when they met,
right?
Yeah,
that's the movie they met on.
By the way, if you haven't seen Punchline, Sally Field, Tom Hanks, incredibly wonderful performances. Mm-hmm. They play stand-up comedians, and it's the first time that you get to see a darker version of Tom.
Which he would really go on to.
He's really good at.
Go with it. He's really good at that. Tom Hanks, telling you.
Yeah, it's not fair.
If he weren't such a nice guy, he'd be easy to hate.
Really, absolutely. Absolutely, you're so right. That's
and then he went and played Mr. Rogers. Thanks a lot, Tom Hanks.
No, it wasn't already hard enough to,
Yeah, right. Play one of the nicest people ever, I tell you. That's going to wrap it up for this section. Yeah. I think we're going to come back here with our new segment here. We'll see how recurring it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. But Correcting Myth Takes will be coming up here in just a minute when we come back to Director's Cut. Welcome back to Director's Cut, everyone. Hope you're having a great Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. James and I are enjoying our alone time, I guess you could call it. Yes. We don't have any guests this week, but we're really enjoying what we're doing. And our next segment is something we're going to try here, Correcting Myth Takes. In other words, we're going to look at different urban legends, myths, mysteries in entertainment history. And there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to see if we can't... see what's true and what's not true and what we can really find out about it. And I came up with this idea because I came across, I was looking through music stuff, which is what I do all the time. And I came across a singer by the name of Johnny Ace. Mm. Johnny Ace had one big hit, basically, in 1955, an R&B hit called Pledging My Love. And we'll play a little snippet here for you so you can get that music in your head while we're talking about what happened.
Forever, my darling, my love will be true. Always and forever, I'll love just you. Just promise me, darling, your love in return. Make this fire in my soul, dear.
So this song became a hit posthumously.
Yeah.
Johnny Ace died before it became a hit. In fact, the reason it was one of the first, he died, let's push his record.
Oh, wow.
Because now everyone will hear it thing, which it happens all the time now. Mm-hmm. A famous singer dies and then their catalog blows up on Amazon or whatever. People start listening to buying their music and that kind of thing. It's been happening for a long time, in other words.
Yeah.
But Johnny Ace was an interesting one because the myth surrounding his death is that he was backstage at a show and he was playing Russian roulette. Yes, Russian roulette, for those who don't know, is when you put a single bullet into a revolver, spin the revolver. That's not the chamber. It's the, I can't even remember what it's called. Anyway, you spin the thing and then you see, and you point it at your head to see if the bullet's there. Extremely dangerous. Don't anyone ever do that.
Dumbest game in history.
In history. Yeah. I don't know what it's supposed to prove. Anyway. So Johnny was doing this. He makes the mistake and he blows his own brains out. Ugh. That is what the story was. The myth was he was playing Russian roulette. Well, a few years later, and we'll get to the reason why we're even talking about this, because it seemed to have an effect on a lot of people, especially a lot of artists that would come later.
Huh.
And we'll get to that in a little bit, but it seems like the story is not quite right. So it's true, he did shoot himself, and it was accidental. He did not mean to commit suicide, and everyone knew that from the beginning. It was an accidental death. He was 25 years old at the time.
Hmm.
So talking to people later about this, they did talk to his bassist. Let's see, his bassist, Curtis Tillman was his name.
Hmm.
He witnessed the event, said, "I will tell you exactly what happened. Johnny Ace had been drinking, and he had this little pistol he was waving around the table, and someone said, 'Be careful with that thing.' And he said, 'It's okay, gun's not loaded, see?' And he pointed it at himself with a smile on his face, and bang."
Wow.
Sad, sad thing. Big Mama ran out of the dressing room yelling, "Johnny Ace just killed himself." The Big Mama he's referring to is a classic R&B singer by the name of Big Mama Thornton,
who was
like 300 pounds, and she had nasty attitude. She was great. I love Big Mama Thornton. Yeah. Her first song was "They Call Me Big Mama Because I Weigh 300 pounds. That was the first song she ever recorded.
Yeah.
She also recorded the very first version of Hound Dog.
That's right.
Written by
I knew the name sounded familiar.
Yeah, that's right. Written by Lieber and Stoller. And later, of course, Elvis made it a gigantic hit. By the way, listen to the first version. It's nothing like the Elvis version. He cut so much of it out.
Wow.
It's a very different song.
Huh.
But go check it out. But anyway, Big Mama was on the bill. She was part of this tour. And in her written statement about what happened, that was that Ace had been playing with a gun, but not playing Russian roulette. According to Thornton, Ace pointed the gun at his girlfriend and another woman who were sitting nearby, but did not fire. He then pointed the gun toward himself, bragging that he knew which chamber was loaded. The gun went off, shooting him in the side of the head. According to his biographer, Nick Toshis, Ace shot himself with a .32 pistol, not a .22, which is what everyone assumed that it was. And it happened a little more than an hour after he bought a new 1955 Oldsmobile. Never got to use his car.
Oh,
too bad,
man.
Johnny. It's a pointless death, really, for someone who was on the way up in the music industry. So because of this, it's really amazing what happened because of that. People took notice, and there were a whole bunch of tribute songs that came after this about Johnny Ace. And he wasn't, like I said, he was just beginning to be really popular throughout the country. But he had, some of the songs that were performed. Let's see if I can find the list here. Johnny Has Gone. There was also a song called Johnny Ace's Last Letter, Salute to Johnny Ace, Why Johnny Why, and Johnny's Still Singing.
Wow.
Right after he died, all these songs came out, tributes to him specifically. Now, later on, one of his other songs, Never Let Me Go, was performed by Bob Dylan and Joan Baez on their Rolling Thunder Review in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Elvis Presley recorded Pledging My Love on his final album, that same song. Paul Simon wrote and performed the song The Late Great Johnny Ace from 1983, in which a boy, upon hearing about the death of Ace, orders a photograph of the deceased singer, which is a cool story.
Yeah.
And but again, it's one of these things that for a guy that wasn't that famous, it was an amazing outpouring of this grief for the singer. And as you heard in that little clip of the thing, he had a good voice, good R&B voice, very soulful singer and everything. It's also been used, that song, Pledging My Love, has been used in Mean Streets.
Oh.
Martin Scorsese used it. The film Christine, directed by John Carpenter. The film Back to the Future by Robert Zemeckis. And the 1992 film Bad Lieutenant, of all films. Abel Ferrara directed that one.
One of these things is not like the other, but
Harvey Keitel's in two of those, actually. I just realized that, Bad Lieutenant and Mean Streets.
Yeah.
So, but that kind of puts that one to bed a little bit. He did accidentally shoot himself, but it wasn't Russian roulette. He was still being extremely irresponsible with a gun.
Wow.
I just want to put that out there. Please, everybody. Don't mess around with guns like that.
No, that is a good thing to note. Yes. That is an awesome story, Seth.
So,
that is so cool. I didn't know any of that.
Clear up really that cool. one myth take. Now, you have something for us here.
Well, yeah, because I kind of taken this in a little bit on the other end of this, where these are stories a little more that maybe you didn't know about going on behind the scenes. The movie Total Recall, the original Total Recall I'm speaking of, with Arnold Schwarzenegger and everything. One of those movies where a lot of good actors in it, but performances that you may not like, you came to expect certain things from them, and you didn't really see it in that one. A good example is Michael Ironside. Ironside, incredibly good actor.
Oh, very good actor.
Especially in the 80s, one of the bigger names of the 80s, even though he may not have been a household name, you saw him in a million things.
Villain.
Yeah, always great villain. Always a great villain, including in Total Recall, but was not. During the filming process, just seemed to not be there. And a young actor like Arnold Schwarzenegger happened to notice this. Now, Arnold is kind of, especially at this point in the game, you know, he's been a politician. He's been in the public eye since he was a kid.
Yeah.
And I still don't think people really know him, though. Like, with all that being said.
He's been very guarded. He's a very private man in the end.
Yeah.
He is.
One thing that I think that you wouldn't know unless you just did a little bit of digging, very well liked. Like, there is not a person who has worked with Arnold that has anything bad to say about him.
Yeah.
He is very, giving on set. He does his job. He learns his lines. Not like your typical guy coming from the weightlifting industry or sports in general.
In general, right.
He came into this like, I want to learn. I want to be good at this, going back to Conan and working with James Earl Jones on a one-on-one basis just to try to get, like, the voices down. And that's pretty cool, you know, on James Earl's part of taking the time to do it. And Arnold to... He didn't have to do that. Nobody was expecting him to be a thespian, but he wanted to be.
He wanted to
be
learn
at it. So he's doing this Total Recall movie, and he's paying attention. He's a people watcher, and he's noticing that after literally after every scene that Michael Ironside gets done, he runs off. and is on the phone. And this is back in the day where you're on, you know, landlines and everything. Yeah. So Michael Ironside was consistently on the phone between takes. When he botched the subject with, when Arnold broached the subject with Ironside, he was told that he was phoning his sister and that she was currently suffering from cancer.
Oh, wow.
Arnold immediately brought Michael to his trailer, and they had a 3-hour conversation between the three of them, mm-hmm. where Arnold took the time to talk to his sister about exercises that she could do and different foods she could eat to really help, you know, give her energy and yep. help her keep going, and just really basically lifted her spirits, really mm-hmm. something that nobody was able to really do for this young lady. Mm-hmm. Arnold was able to do, and he took the time out of to do this, and Michael Ironside goes out of his way to tell people about this. Because you guys don't realize what a good man this guy is. Yeah. Like, and they're still friends to this day.
Wow.
Because of that whole little thing there. Another interesting.
That's a nice little story. That's great.
One other one that I think is noteworthy too, and it's a little kind of piggybacking off of that. Most of us, especially us 80s kids, mm-hmm. I say, name me a famous quotable movie. You're going to go to The Princess Bride. It's been watched so many times. It's one of those generational movies where even the next generation loves it.
Marvelous script. The lines in it are marvelous, yes.
And one of the first movies that me as a young little kid running around the house wanting to be an actor quoted. It was one of the first movies I would quote, including, obviously, my name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father, prepare to die.
Right.
I would drive my nan and papa and my dad crazy with that. My dad did not like me saying this line to him.
You killed my father.
You get very offended by this line, but I didn't slow me down.
Of course not.
I would push it sometimes with my dad where I would say, I want my father back, you blank, blank. And I would say the actual line as in like 8-9-year-old kid to my dad. And he would laugh and then he'd be like, Jimmy, don't let your mother hear you say that, like that kind of thing. But as an adult and even as a teenager and as I would grow older and stuff, and I dissect so much of that movie, and mm-hmm. in particular, Mandy Patinkin, who is one of my favorite actors of all time.
I love him. I love Mandy Patinkin.
Top 10, top 15 mm-hmm. favorite actors of all time. And I'll admit, a little biased because he's a Chicagoan.
I knew it.
You know, yeah. You know, you don't have to. That's fine. You didn't even need me to tell you
John
that.
John Cusack. Yeah, we know.
But his performance in particular, and for the life of me, I couldn't understand why he would drop his accent when he delivered that line, I want my father back. And there's been a lot of history behind like, oh, he just, you know, he lost his focus in that scene.
Yeah.
He wasn't, he didn't care. A lot of different things have been said over the years about this performance. Well, during the filming of The Princess Bride, Mandy Patinkin, who of course plays Indigo, mm-hmm. his father died from cancer. Mm. And Mandy, being the professional he was, the show must go on. Yep. I've got to keep working. They were nice enough, Robert Zemeckis.
Rob Reiner,
who directed it.
Yep.
It's like, no, take time off. Go see your, you know, go to the funeral and all that. Mm-hmm. So they paused filming all of it. I think they did do some like, stage shots and stuff, but they.
I'm sure they did something, yeah.
But when he came back from the funeral, they had to shoot the scene where he kills the six-fingered man.
Right.
And he gives him that special fire, that line. Mm-hmm. You know, when the six-fingered man finally realizes that his goose is cooked and all that, and he says, I'll give you anything, money, this. Yep. What do you want? I want my father back, you.
Yep.
And he drops the accent because he ain't acting in that scene,
No.
That's not, like, we've seen Mandy Patinkin act, and we know how his caliber is and how great he is, yep. but in that moment, he's just a guy.
Missing his father.
Yeah.
Totally missing his father. Yeah.
And I can't even think about it without it moving me.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a credit to Rob Reiner for keeping that scene.
Yeah.
It was one take. And they got it.
They got it.
And it's
turned into this like iconic moment of
so
this
huge.
Iconic film. Who doesn't remember the passion? I mean, you can see it in his face.
It's so crazy to think that a movie that is so quoted, so well loved,
yeah.
and that may be the line, the scene that sticks yeah. with people so much because
right.
it's so real.
Yeah.
It's so. And to Mandy's credit, he wanted to refilm the scene. He's like, I'm sorry. I dropped the accent. Oh, God, I dropped the accent. He was horrified.
Yeah.
Rob Reiner, the whole cast, they voted on this, and they kept it in.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
You know, I've seen a documentary where they kind of went back, all the actors, and looked at the thing. And I didn't realize at the time because I didn't know. And they didn't talk about it in the documentary. But Mandy Patinkin got, when he was talking, he got very emotional about the movie. Mm. And now I understand why. Because it makes him think of his father. And then that makes so much sense. And it wasn't just that because it was a special thing to be a part of. You can tell if you ask any of the actors, they were like, no, this was special. This was something that you do, you knew that you were on a good movie. You knew that you were on one of these special projects. So
it just doesn't, you know, you don't get to have those moments very often with the, how much money, how much time is put into these things. And
oh my gosh,
some of those scenes that we see.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to keep going here because we got we're running out of time. But there's other scenes that I'm thinking of right away that, you know. Mm-hmm. That are in our lexicon because the director decided to keep it in, even though another director would say, no, I want another cut.
No, this is not good. This isn't right. Yeah, but there was something about it that they saw, and they were like, ah, let's go with that. Real quick, since we do have a couple minutes left, Arnold Schwarzenegger story. My mom got her master's degree from the University of Wisconsin Superior, which, for those of you who know Arnold Schwarzenegger, he attended that school for a while. And the year my mom graduated, she wanted to walk. And it's like, oh, that's cool. We find out just like a couple months before the thing, oh, they're giving an honorary degree to Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's coming.
Whoa.
To the commencement.
Whoa.
And he's going to give a speech. And we were like, okay. So like, well, we get to go because my mom's graduated. They had to, you know, they had to limit the number of people because he was this thing. And we get in there. We're ready. You know, they're starting to do things. And he's late. You know, he's a star, come on, you know. But he walks in and he's shaking people's hands and stuff. By the way, I thought he was taller than that.
right.
He's shorter than I thought he was. But he came up, you know, and he did his speech. It was very funny. He did a great speech, you know, a lot of humor in it. But he talked about, you know, when his time at UWS and all these things. And my mom was like, well, I'm going to get a picture here. You know, why not? So because he sat with everybody when everyone came up and got their diplomas. He was in the front. He didn't go anywhere. Wow. He stayed.
Wow.
And my mom got a picture or two with him, and got a picture of him, a real close up, and it was really cool. But because he had his, you know, the gown on and everything, the mortarboard, he was ready to go. So that was really cool.
That's so cool that he stuck around, that he stayed. He did. And like, that's above and beyond.
Yeah.
It was cool of him to show up, let alone to do that. I like that story. That's really cool to hear, man.
Yeah, that's my Arnold Schwarzenegger story.
Love it. What we got here? We're wrapping up, right?
Yeah, I think we got to wrap this up here.
And that's going to wrap it for our third session of Director's Cut. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We mentioned before, we want your recommendations for movies, songs, things you want us to review. That includes these myths.
If you have something, yes, bring it, get it to us, please.
We'd love that.
Yeah.
And we'd love if you could spread the word about this and Seth Faces the Music and all of our original weekend content. Mm-hmm. Spread the word and let's bring some more people to this station, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of WFHR's Director's Cut.